By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful, who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Anthony, for reading that. Today's sermon has four pages. The first page is trouble in the text, and then trouble in the world, grace in the text, grace in the world. And I noticed when I looked at my sermon, I spend most of the time talking about grace. Isn't that a great place to be? I emphasize grace in this sermon. And the focus is on faith. But let's first start with a brief introduction. They must have thought little Jack was crazy when he sold the family's dairy cow for a handful of beans. Magic beans. Most people didn't think much of those beans, but Jack believed they would pay off at the end. His mom was so upset that she threw the beans right out the window, but they landed in the garden next to the window. Meanwhile, she sent Jack to bed without his supper. When Jack woke up the next day, he looked out his bedroom window and saw a tall beanstalk stretching way beyond the clouds. Amazing! He climbed so high and he found a kingdom in the sky. Maybe you know the rest of the story. He finds a castle up there and a giant too who said, "Fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman." But Jack was a smart kid. He outsmarted the giant, not once, not twice, but three times, coming back down to his mother's home with a bag of gold coins, a golden hen that laid golden eggs, and a golden harp. Incredible. Jack believed, even when other people thought he was crazy. They must have thought Abraham was crazy too, to trust a God he couldn't see. God wasn't visible to Abraham's eyes. Nevertheless, he responded in faith to God's instructions. When God said go, Abraham went. When God said jump, Abraham said, how high? Abraham went along with God's plan. Hebrews 11 informs us that it was all done by faith. And if you read the whole chapter later today, you'll see that those words are repeated over and over again. By faith, by faith, by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Can you imagine going somewhere one step at a time when you don't even know your final destination? Where? Where exactly are we headed? Your head would be swimming. The name Abraham means father of many, but at the time, Abraham wasn't the father of one. No, he was the father of none. When the patriarch was 75 years old, the Lord spoke, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you." How could this ever be a possibility? He and his wife Sarah were childless. When the two arrived in Canaan, the Lord spoke again, "To your offspring I will give this land." How could it be? They had no children. Well, the years ticked by like some ancient clock, and still no kids. Abraham and Sarah weren't getting any younger either. They were well past the age of having children. And this was long before fertility clinics or the medical advantages that we enjoy helping couples who deal with infertility. God indicated that there'd be a day when Abraham's descendants would be as numerous as the stars and as countless as the sand on the seashore. But how? How could he rest in that promise when his age was nearly triple digits, 100 trips around the sun? And what about the promise of land? Its soil was under his feet, but he didn't own it. He wandered as a sojourner in the land, living in tents, herding sheep and goats. But Abraham possessed no property. He had no homeland, no rootedness in the land. Could he still have faith in the lofty promises? Could he still believe in the God he could not see? And what about us? How can we believe in a God that we can't see? People must think we're crazy to trust a God we can't see. Week after week, we come here to worship a God who's not visible to our eyes. Year after year, we come to a church to praise a God who is unseen. Nevertheless, the author of Hebrews holds forth faith. Faith is a confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Where would we be without faith? Lacking faith would put things out of focus. Now, some of you might be nearsighted like me and wearing glasses. I see some people there with glasses, and maybe some of you have contacts too. If you didn't have that, distant objects would appear blurry. It would put things out of focus. Without glasses or contacts, I would struggle to read an eye chart, and if I tried to drive, I'd probably hit your car or pickup truck. Glasses help me to see distant objects. Likewise, faith helps us to see distant spiritual objects too, such as our final destination, heaven. David Gray provides a pastor's perspective on the importance of faith. Few items are more critical than the faith of our people. It is by God's grace, through faith, that we receive salvation. Faith in God is what keeps our people going in the face of life's challenges. Did you hear the last part? Faith in God keeps us going through all of life's challenges. And for some of us, there are a whole lot of challenges. I look out at some of you and I see that you've experienced a great deal of challenges. How many of you can relate to that? Challenges one after the other. One challenge we face is getting older and the difficulties of aging. When I think about this topic, I think about my friend Dick Davison. And one time he said, "Rick, how are your mom and dad doing?" And I said, "Well, they're getting older." And he said, "I have something to tell you, Rick. We're all getting older." And I thought, this is one intelligent person telling me that we're all getting older. And getting older is not for the faint of heart. We ask questions. We want to look up with faith in God, but instead we look down at our bodies, at our minds, and say, "What will the future bring for me? Will tomorrow be good or bad? Will I continue to have a sharp mind? And what about a healthy body?" It's not an easy thing, getting older. Of course, there are other challenges too. At times, it seems like we face unending roadblocks that prevent forward progress. And at other times, when we pray, it feels like there's a ceiling on our prayers. They rise up, but then they just bounce right back in our face. And we know that God answers our prayers with a yes, a no, or a not yet. But why is it that so often with our prayers we have to wait? There's an enduring quality to faith that enables patience in prayer. Where would we be without faith? Without faith, there's no doubt that our lives would be out of focus. Abraham's life had the focus of faith. Despite dealing with one obstacle after another, the author of Hebrews reminds us of Father Abraham's faith in verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed God and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He operated by faith, even in the face of the unknown future. And faith is also featured in verse 9. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. His wife Sarah also lived by faith. Verse 11, by faith, even Sarah, Abraham's wife, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Faith was their operating principle. And God rewarded their patient, enduring faith with a child. Now, some of you may go out in the fellowship hall later, and you'll see that there's some decorations there. The Pettifer family is going to have a celebration because it's a girl for the Pettifers, a grandchild, a child, a great-grandchild even, I believe. So anyway, in this case with Abraham and Sarah, they couldn't say the same thing. They said, it's a boy. And baby Isaac was born, the child of promise. He was born, get this, when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old, not far behind. Remarkable. A baby at their age? How could it be possible? It must have been God. And Sarah was previously barren. Imagine the great joy he gave to his mom and dad. The text reveals that Abraham was considered as good as dead by human terms, but God made the impossible possible. God made a way where there was no way. God provided a mighty miracle. By God's own power, from the one man came descendants as numerous as stars in the sky and sands on the beach. And centuries later, one of Abraham's descendants was born in a manger. His name is Jesus. Imagine the great joy of his mom and dad. And imagine our joy as we rejoice in the celebration of baby Jesus. Abraham and Sarah had a foundation to their faith. Their faith was founded securely in a God who always keeps his promises. They trusted in a trustworthy God. They had faith in God's faithfulness. Overall, Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. It's found in Genesis 15, verse 6. Marion Swords explains this. It is evident that God's power alone, working through Abraham's faith, brings about the miracle of the fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham. In other words, God is faithful to the promise made to Abraham, and in turn, Abraham and Sarah, by their faith, are able to experience God's true faithfulness. Reflect on that. Abraham has faith in a faithful God. Meanwhile, God is the faithful one, and Abraham can rest securely in the faithfulness of his Lord, the one who always keeps his promises to us. Do you know Abraham and other believers in his day and age were still living by faith when they died? They did not receive the thing promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. It's hard to see things from a distance, isn't it? You know, for some of us, we need glasses. We need vision to see into the future. Things in the distance seem so far away, but faith brings it all into focus. Together, Abraham and Sarah had just one son, Isaac, a foreshadowing of the one Son of God who would come to save his people from their sins. Abraham didn't own much property in the promised land, just a small burial plot that he purchased when his wife Sarah passed away. But that didn't stop him. That didn't stop him from dreaming of the day when Joshua would lead God's people into the promised land. But that didn't stop Abraham. It didn't stop him for longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Without a doubt, he desired a better homeland, a heavenly one. Overall, Abraham's faith enabled him to see the unseen. In the same way, our faith helps us to focus on those unseen things of God. See how those glasses put the future into focus and we can see beyond the clouds? Hebrews 11 says this. It tells us that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see, because this is what the ancients were commended for. And the author of Hebrews in chapter 11 goes through what I call like a hall of fame of faith. It's kind of like Cooperstown, except instead of the baseball that Rose brought for the children's worship, instead of a baseball celebration, it's a faith celebration. And he starts listing off all these heroes like Moses and Abel and Enoch and Noah built his ark and Abraham and Sarah and all these heroes that are in this hall of fame of faith. And he does it for two reasons. One, to give gratitude to God for these people, but also to inspire us to say, I want to be like them. I want to have faith too. If they live by faith, I want to follow in their grand footsteps. Beverly Gavanta says this. The chapter serves two purposes. It's a tribute praising the faithfulness of the past, and it's also a sermon that urges the same faith on present-day believers. Do you know, 21st century believers like us can also walk by faith? We can possess the same faith that Abraham had. He's no better or no worse than we are. And it's all about grace, a divine gift from above. Our gracious God gives us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a blessed gift. And the Spirit inspires our hearts to live by faith, trusting in the grand promises of our great God who always keeps his word. If you think about it, we have many advantages over Abraham. When he lived, it was before the Bible was even written, before Genesis was even written, the very first book of the Bible. But now we have this book, the written word of God, with 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New. That's quite a few books of the Bible. This is the word of God, the inspired word of God. We have that advantage over Abraham. And we have the testimony of all the saints who have gone before. And we hold as a treasure the great traditions of the church, the hymns in the hymnal, the creeds and confessions, the liturgy. And we have the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, which were not available to Abraham at the time. However, Abraham was able to worship God, and he built altars to God and worshiped by burning an animal sacrifice to God. And these sacrifices that Abraham made were a foreshadowing of the once and all sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. There's no doubt that God has given us numerous blessings and a bright future in heaven with Christ. One blessing that he has given us is the gift of faith. David Gray explains, what gives our faith a firm foundation is that Jesus Christ is Lord. He holds our future, come what may on earth. Faith is ultimately a gift of the Holy Spirit. Our opportunity is to respond to God's initiative of such grace. People of God, with absolute determination and steady conviction, our response today will be faith. Faith helps us as we approach the table of the Lord. Faith helps us to grasp the spiritual realities that are here represented. As we look to the bread, we understand that the little pieces of bread are just as real as the spiritual realities of God's love for us in Christ. And the little cups of grape juice, those are just as real as the spiritual realities that exist, the very forgiveness of the blood of Christ. This is something that we celebrate by faith, that the spiritual realities of love and forgiveness from God are just as real as the grape juice and the bread. So, people of God, thank God for giving us faith, because it helps us stay focused on God, our faithful promise keeper. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen.